Welcome to another episode of Equipped Agronomy Podcast, where we bridge that gap between seeding equipment and agronomy, just building bridges. Presented to you by Borgo Industries. My name is Curtis DeGoyer, and I have over here Jeff Shrukoff.
Good day, people.
So, Jeff, today we're going to chat a little bit about PGRs. What's that stand for?
Plant Growth Regulator. I have a love-hate relationship with PGRs.
That's, oh, really?
I'm going to say that right off the bat. Yep.
Okay, we're going to have to circle back to that maybe, but maybe around the end, we'll see.
We'll get back to it at the end.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting one. So plant growth regulators, I would say, are relatively new to Western Canada, right? They've been in Europe for quite a long time. People use them there all the time. Relatively new, saying probably now in the last, like, what, 10 years or so?
Would that be? Maybe. Yeah, maybe more like six, maybe.
More like six on a main... mainstream there, all right.
Yeah, they could have been launched a little bit earlier, and then there were some hiccups with registrations and stuff, and that kind of delayed the entry of the first couple of PGRs into the market.
Yeah.
And then once they got clearance, then there was a few more that came online. But it's kind of been in the last, maybe 6 to 8 years, yeah.
And the two, I would say the two main ones right now, right, and the ones we kind of dabbled with, your Manipulator and Modus.
Correct.
I remember there was an, was it Ethryl? Ethryl or something? There's another one that was kind of there, but I don't hear too much about that anymore.
No.
So these ones here, they're, I don't know exactly how they work. Something with gibberellin, though. And they work somewhat the same, either an inhibitor or they don't let it express. It basically shortens the node, distance between nodes on a...
Prevents internode elongation.
Internode, yeah. So we're going to, so we're trying to shorten the crop up a little bit is the, you know, I'd say the main goal of that. You know, to combat in cereals, let's say, and actually any crop, lodging. Lodging is probably one of the big things, right? Like, why would we, okay, so why would we put on
a if you want to use higher rates of nitrogen and you don't want your crop to lodge, this is a tool that you can actually use.
Right.
That's kind of the...
That's why we got into it a little bit, because we have the ability, our equipment has the ability to put down high rates of nitrogen, whether that be, you know, through the mid-row, if you're going to, you can pump on as much as you want on through that safely, right? But now on the back end of that, that's great so that you can get higher, potential higher yield by doing that. But now we got crops that are laying flat. So here we go. Now we have this tool, like you said, to combat that. The other thing with it that I had heard with, you know, any PGR was that, oh, okay, I can do that. I'll apply it to my wheat crop. We'll talk specifically wheat here. I'll apply it to my wheat crop. What I'm finding is, yes, I've seen yield bumps, but I've also seen lower protein that come with the yield bumps, right? And so I think that was an interesting comment that I know what I had heard. And so we decided to do a trial, right? We get these questions. This one, you know, not really direct equipment specific, other than the fact we can apply a lot of nutrients with our equipment. But it was more of an interest thing, right? Let's go down this road. Can we use this as a tool with our stuff? So one aspect of it was obviously to say, okay, what's a crop do when you don't apply it? And what's a crop do when you do apply it? But then coming around to that whole protein talk, typically protein, as your wheat yield goes up, your protein goes down because, you know, the thought is it's using more nitrogen towards yield. So if you have a higher yield with PGR, well, then it's going to use more nitrogen for it. And that's why your protein's going down. Okay, well, let's do something where we say 140 pounds of N. And this is the trial we set up. 140 pounds of actual N. That's our kind of our base. Well, then let's juice this thing. Let's go for big crops. We're going to go up to 170 pounds of N. And then we're going to go up to 200 pounds of N. With the other nutrients actually following along with that as well then, right?
Yeah, balanced nutrition.
Balanced nutrition. So we're going to pump it up. So that's how we set up this trial where we had, you know, strips, you know, are typically 400 feet long. Well, what we do, we'd go an extra 400 feet with that same, with those fertilizer rates, right? So then that's how we set up the trial where we would only spray half of that 800 feet. The other half would be untreated, the untreated versus the treated. And then we go and combine that like we always do. So that's how we laid it out with those three different rates. So we've been doing this actually for,
4 years?
4 years, yep.
Yep.
Yeah, just looking here. So the initial one in 2020. 2020 was a good growing season. We had exceptional yields that year. Good rainfalls, timely rainfalls. But man, was there ever a difference when it came to non-treated versus treated? Like to the tune of about 8 bushels.
Yep.
And it was like, wow. And the amount that it shortened that crop, it was like, what, 4 or 5 inches, 6 inches maybe. Like, it was significant.
It was noticeable, yeah.
Very noticeable out there.
Especially with the short variety that we were growing at the time too.
Well, you see, and that's going to be something that we really dig into a little bit more on the variety. That year was Landmark.
Correct.
Landmark, not necessarily a tall variety, but not necessarily the shortest variety. But man, did it yield. So that we had differences between non-treated and treated. So when we looked at the rates at that point, in both yield and on the proteins, I should say too, though, on the higher yielding with the treated PGR, yield went up. Our protein did drop about a half a point, so 0.5%. So we saw that. So now as we increased our N rates up to 170, honestly, there was no difference in yield between 140 up to 200 pounds of N. That year, again, the non-treated was in the low 90s, right? And then the treated was up into high 90s, almost touching 100 there. But it didn't matter across the rates. There's no difference.
So 140, yeah. 170, 200, yield was the same.
Correct. What did change a little bit, and I'm talking went from, you know, 14.8% protein up to 15.3%. So that's only a half a percent difference. That did change from 140 to 100 to 200. So I didn't run any economics on this one, but I can almost guarantee you 60 pounds of actual N did not get paid for by a half a percent in protein. So that, no. So this is cool. We're like, hey, we're onto something here. We can, you know, not necessarily pump more N, but just, you know, this is going to be a cool tool moving forward. 21 hits, same setup. 140, 170, 200, treated or not treated.
Drought year.
She was dry, 21. 21 was a dry year here. We were getting yields of, yeah, no longer 90 bushel. We were into the 22 bushel kind of range there. It ranged from 20 to 22, actually, across all those treatments there again. Again, no difference between 140, 170, 200. That did not change. Yeah, it was just, you call it yield limiting or moisture limiting yield.
Yeah.
However, there was something very neat that came out of this. 140 pounds of N, non-treated, to 140 pounds, treated. Yield, again, was, you know, the same. The protein dropped by almost, it did drop by a full point when we treated it. So, I guess to back up on the what it looked like, it was a dry year. The crops were already short. When we did treat it, they actually did get a little shorter. They went from like the top of your knee cap to like more your shin kind
mid
of thing.
Shin,
yeah, man. Like it did what it was supposed to do, shorten that length. But man, our protein dropped, but we didn't have a yield bump. So now that kind of went against, you know, the thought of, well, more yield because you're limited by how much nitrogen you put down. Well, we weren't limited by how much N, but yet we still saw a protein jump. And there's been some good work on this out of University of Manitoba. And I think that explains this really well, was that the fact that you decrease the plant size when a wheat crop is coming to maturity and it's building its protein in its head, it's actually moving nitrogen from the rest, like the stalk, the leaves, everything up into its head, mobilizing?
Yeah,
yeah. Mobilizing. Well, if you have a smaller bank of just plant material to pull from, well, then it can't pull as much to go onto your head, right? So at that point, I guess it's already sucked up nitrogen from the ground, and that's, you know, it's moving it from the plant into its head. So then we just had less plant and we had less protein. And I think that was a, you know, an interesting thing to see. So it made sense that we're not going to actually improve our protein with a PGR by just applying more, because
so what they found in Manitoba in the research there was the larger or more length of straw of the plant gave it the ability to store more nitrogen in that straw. When it's mobilizing, it had more nitrogen to move into the head, therefore getting more protein. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yes. No, I just need to make that clear in my head.
Well, for you and everybody else probably listening, I'm rambling. Sorry about that. No, I think that's exactly what they found.
I'm totally picking up what you're putting down.
That's what I got from that. Okay. Anyway, so that was cool. But again, no difference in yield. Okay, but it was dropping protein. Not real beneficial. Again, not having to run an economic analysis on all of this did not pay.
Yeah.
And yeah, what is it actually to talk just about that? What is it? How much is it per acre? Like, I want to say like 15.
It's about $14.
$14. Yeah. Plus application.
Plus application.
Because yeah, we don't apply this.
And it is actually a separate application because I've never actually had the ability to tie it in with a herbicide treatment because it's too early. And I've never been able to tie it in with a fungicide treatment because it's too late.
Yeah.
So it's a special treatment. I try and get in usually around the five leaf two tiller stage.
Yep.
Ish. And, yeah, it's an extra pass.
It's an extra pass. Yeah. And I think there was some work trying to figure out if you could split apply some with herbicide, some with that. But at the end of the day, we just did kind of label recommendation, give it every opportunity that we could to perform. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, the five leaf stage, right, going in there. So 2022 came around. 2022, we had way better yields again. Good yields. One change up though. In 22, we went from Landmark to Starbuck variety of wheat. Starbuck is a little bit shorter, right? Good yield potential on that. So again, 140 to 200 pounds with and without PGR. What we did find there was not near as big a drop in plant height. It just, that variety is already short. It just didn't respond.
Yeah.
It was maybe more even. There wasn't as many like those ones that fly up higher on you.
I can remember actually going back in time when we first used a PGR. It wasn't in the trials by that point. It was just actually to try it out. And we used it on Brandon wheat.
Okay.
And Brandon was significantly shorter than all the other wheat varieties that were out there too. And we didn't get the reduction in height with that variety, but that was variety specific. So I think when we go forward and you go to Starbuck, it's a shorter variety as well. Mm-hmm. You may not see the height differential.
Yeah, we definitely did. And in lodging too, when we were looking at lodging all these years, we saw it again, in 2020, we saw lodging differences that was treated versus untreated. But you know, in 21, we didn't, 22, we didn't. And we'll get into 23 here. So again, no real difference at all other than just a slight drop in protein, which meant probably it did drop plant height in general, just slightly, but yeah, nothing between 140 to 200 pounds of N either that year. 23 comes along then as well. Again, this year, like a little bit drier. Didn't have quite the rains, but still decent yields. We were in the 60s this year. And no difference again between these different rates of nitrogen, but then no difference in yield with Starbuck again between treated and untreated, right? Just looking here. Even protein, again, I'm talking, it ranged between 0.5 to maybe 0.2 or 3% difference in protein. So there was still probably a little bit of a drop there. So I think that's, yeah, does it work? That's kind of the question. Is it worth it? Is the other one. That first in 20, if you got a variety, do you remember combining the rest of the farm when we did it on another big chunk? What did the combine guy say? He could go about a mile an hour faster with it, right? So even if there wasn't a yield advantage, was there another component to this? Less straw you're dealing with, less residue, you know, was that worth it? Depending on your variety, I would say that's another component to
consider.
PGR. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But as soon as we went to one that doesn't really respond to it, man, pretty tough to make an argument for it.
Yeah. Like it's, I think in a wet year, yes, you probably still see some benefit to it, but in a dry year, it's kind of questionable whether you do it or not. But I don't know how you predicted a wet year or a dry year.
That's you can tell us.
We wouldn't be doing what we're doing if we could predict that. So
yeah, well, even in saying that, 22 is a good year, and man, we did not really see it show up in any form. I think so. To that point of different varieties, I had listened to presentation there, IHARF, Indian Head Research or Indian Head Agriculture Research Foundation, you know, and they're one of the AgriArm sites, and there's multiple, and they did a PGR trial in wheat, spring wheat, specifically spring wheat, lots of different locations, six different locations. They're looking at a ton of stuff. They're looking at manipulator modus and four varieties though. And they, you know, almost saw the same kind of thing. Brandon, they had Brandon in here, and plant height didn't matter which PGR they used. It was reduced, to extent, they had Elida, Redberry, and Starbuck. And to a certain extent, the Brandon, Elida, and Redberry reduced the height. Starbuck, slightly, but it was insignificant. So exactly what we kind of stumbled across, I would say.
Yeah.
And their effects on grain yield, across the board, there was actually no difference at all that they found, even with Brandon. So yeah, it was a kind of a wash on their part too there. So yeah, is it worth it? Again, don't know much about winter wheat. I don't know of their varieties. I think it is varietal. So, you know, specifically to spring varieties, but potentially there's a benefit on winter wheats though, and different crops in general. Is it registered in canola?
I don't know that, actually.
Oats, barley though?
Yep.
Yeah. See, those I could see maybe the breeding of those different crops. You know, a lot of money has been pumped into wheat on the breeding efforts. There's money going into the you know, oats and barley. Oats specifically, if you give that a bunch of nitrogen, it's gonna
go down on you, yeah.
Which is very bad. So I would say I don't have any experience putting it on those crops, but I have heard through the grapevine there's been some pretty good successes with on those anyway. So yeah, I think that's an interesting one. And in canola, which you don't really think about lodging or anything with it, but maybe there's potential with it too, to just not have this big gangly mess if you have a good year out there.
Use it as a harvest management tool.
Yeah. Another aspect to it there, right? And I think that's an important consideration. But as far as the yields go, man, after that first year, yeah, we haven't seen any. Mm. And I would say we're not going to continue this trial into the future. And I don't think we're going to apply it on the rest of the crop if we have that variety yet, right?
Not unless you're going to do it.
No, I think I better let you keep doing that one. So, not saying it doesn't work. You have to be very targeted though on it there. And it didn't really enhance what we were seeing anyway. So, I think
there's a little bit of controversy. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing if we get any feedback from anybody that's had some different results. But it's
kind of what I've been hearing out there too.
It's not, this is what we found. Mm-hmm. And we're just letting everyone know what we found. Yeah. So that's,
So coming back to your love, hate, what did you love and what did you hate? What, like from your experiences?
I liked the a mile an hour faster.
Yeah.
Productivity went up. I thought it was really good.
If there was a difference.
But I really, really hated that extra pass.
Yeah.
Summer's busy enough. You know, you just get out of weed spraying, you got to turn around, you go back in and you start putting a growth regulator on. Mm-hmm. And then it just seems like you get like a small little snippet of a break and then bang, you're into fungicides mm-hmm. again. It'd be nice if you got a little bit of a lull to get caught up on a few things from seeding and stuff. So mm-hmm. That's my hate. I'm not saying that it's not beneficial, but I didn't see enough benefit to warrant doing it in the future. I guess that's where the controversy comes in, because the other guys will obviously say different, but that's my experience.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good one. We'll maybe end our chat right there then.
Okay.
With you having the final say that it doesn't work and everyone called Jeff. about that. So tune into the next episode and we'll continue our chat on these different topics and items and the agronomics of equipment to get you growing. Thanks a lot for listening.